I'm going to talk to you tonight about you don't need a U-Haul. I love spiritual moves. I do not like physical, literal moves. I'm one of them guys that I could live in the same house for the rest of my life. I hate moving. How many agree? U-Hauls are my worst enemy. I'm glad that it is Judy that has the pickup and not me. Because if you have a pickup, you're always asked to help move. But I want to talk to you tonight about something that is very precious, because I believe we are approaching a time in which we will see if we have what it takes. I believe God's going to test us and see if we've got what it takes. I believe the storm clouds, the ominous clouds are on the horizon. I believe that there will be storms. If you think you're going through them now, just wait a little while and you'll say, wow, those are just tropical showers compared to what's coming upon the world. There is a great deluge coming, a great deluge coming upon the earth. Judgment is going to come. And we need to be ready. How many agree that we need to be ready? And so I'll be a little preachy tonight. I want you to stand with me, open your Bibles to St. Luke chapter 6. We're going to read verse 46 through 49, remainder of this chapter 6. Luke 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid it on the foundation of a rock. When the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I want to draw your attention to the last sentence of verse 49. And the ruin of that house was great. The house that was built on the sand. And I want to use for a subject tonight, you don't need a U-Haul. You may be seated. Jesus Christ is showing us that there is going to be a lot of unrest in people's lives. And you need this good word of God. You don't need a U-Haul, you need a Bible. Now, I realize there are cases where people move physically from their house. And I do realize that sometimes a house gets too small, too tight. Change of jobs, change of location, that's necessary. But Jesus Christ describes a house that was built by a very sorry, disgusting carpenter. That disgusting, sorry carpenter was the one who built his own house on the sand. And because he built his own house, and did you know that everyone in this room, you are building your own house? I'm not talking about a house that you live in that has two befores and shingles and carpet and all that stuff. I'm talking about you have a house of God. And God wants you to have your house fresh and built and strong. Because if your house is not strong, then a tsunami will come through and wipe you away. If your life is not strong in Christ, then heartache will come, sickness and trials and sorrows will come. And those things that come upon you will destroy you if you're not built strong in Jesus Christ. You need the steel of the Holy Ghost in your life. You need the welding of God's power in your life in order to be able to withstand these great tyrannic storms that are coming upon the earth. I don't want to sound like a doomsdayer, but I do want to say that The worst is yet to come for the unsaved. The best is yet to come for a child of God. But before we're caught up out of here to meet the Lord in the air, there could be a lot of pressing hard times for even the Christian. One thing we know for sure, I've heard preachers say, now wait a minute, it is the storms of life and the trials of life that helps build us and make us strong. Well, let me say this right now. It is not the storms, it is not the trials of life that makes you strong. It is the storms of life and the trials of life that reveals how weak you are. The Bible's what makes you strong. Because if it was just trials and persecution that makes you strong, then every lost person out there would be stronger than anybody. Because they're going through horrific times. But it is the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the blood of God, the forgiveness of God, God's guidance that makes us truly strong. That we can build our house and be strong for the storms that's coming. I want to just share with you, I'm going to share with you Luke 6, verse 46 to 49. And I want to just share one caption with you is this, you know what to do. You know what to do. You know exactly what to do. The Bible says that the wise man built his house. He dug deep, verse 48 says. He dug deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat, the floods came vehemently upon the house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And so the Bible says when you listen to God and you obey His voice, then listening to God, going by the blueprint of this Bible, going by what Jesus Christ says, you can build your house on a solid rock. Amen. But you've got to dig deep in this book. You've got to dig deep in the things of God. You've got to dig deep. Instead of playing in the shallow waters of pleasure, dig deep in the deep waters of God's Word. Yeah. And allow God to move in your life. So that you can lay your life on a strong foundation so when the earthquake comes, it doesn't destroy. That when we are built strong in Christ, when the storms come, not if they come, but when they come. When the floods come, not if they come, when they come. When the sickness and disease tries to invade your body, it's not if it comes, it's when it comes. It will come. Every storm will come. Problems in a marriage will come. Trials in school will come. Problems on the job will come. Problems between each other will come. There'll be hurdles that you'll face. But it's those true, heavenly blue children of God that will stand in the midst of controversy and that will stand the test of time. Living for God, amen. I kind of expected it to be a little quiet at this time, but you do know what to do. You know what to do. You know what to do. You know that digging deep down into the things of God's Word, you know what to do. Lay your foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. Listen to God. You know what to do. You know to listen to God's Word. You know what to do. Hello. Yeah. Everyone in this room, you know what to do. Amen. See, the problem is so many people think that worshiping God on Sunday morning it's sufficient. Listen to me. Worshiping God on Sunday morning with your hands up and praising God and coming to church occasionally will not take the place of your rejection of God's truth. You coming to church is not penance for your disobedience. You coming to church, worshiping God, praising God, doesn't take the place of your responsibility. Obey, to obey, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is the only way. Trust and obey. There is no other way to have joy, peace, and contentment in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. So I'm afraid the church is full of people that they think because they go to church or sing or teach a class or, you know, they do something in the church, they're involved in activities of the church and they worship and they go through a routine, they come to church occasionally and I'm afraid so many of them mistake that for righteousness, but you can't mistake that for righteousness. You can't use the little things you do for God and expect it to make up for the rejection of God's word. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hello. That's kind of like, you know, homosexuals, lesbians getting together, worshiping the holy, 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 worshiping God's word. Well, you may be a lesbian or homosexual, but you're not a lesbian homosexual Christian. Hello? And I'm afraid that we have shot people with deception of the devil's Novocaine to deaden the disobedience and the pain of people's lives, not listening to what the Word of God says. Amen? Now, my wife can open up the cabinet. She can pull out flour and baking powder, and she can put salt and sugar. And my wife can never look at a recipe and just make some wonderful bread, make some wonderful desserts. My wife is good at it. But a lot of people, if they try to live their life without the recipe of God's word, man, you're going to be so stinking and unfit to eat, it's impossible. Amen? You know, it'd be like going to the recipe box. Anybody know something about the recipe box? Eeny, miny, miny, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, chocolate cake, here we go. Just pull one out. That's not how it works. And Jesus Christ said, there's coming the storm, there's coming the rain, there's coming the floodwaters, there's coming the great deluge of storms and winds upon people's lives. And only those that dig deep into God's word, dig down deep into who Christ is, and lay the foundation on a rock, you'll not stand. You'll not be able to stand through the storms that's coming. You will fall because you're not listening to the word of God. You know what to do. You know you ought to be in church. You know you ought to be obeying God's word. You know you ought to be praying. You know that you ought to be putting God first in your life. You know that you ought to serve God, love God. You know that you should resist sin and iniquity. You know that you're to yield yourself completely to God. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do. And Jesus Christ is basically saying, a wise man knows what to do. They hear my word. They do according to my word. They build a house. They lay it on a solid foundation. They put it on a rock. They dig deep into the things of God. And when the storm comes, they stand. When the trial comes, they stand. When the heartbreak comes, they stand. No matter what comes your way, if you're built on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, and God's word, there is no devil in hell that's going to shake you off of your foundation. There's no demon, there's no sickness, there's no storm, there's no trial that's going to shake you off of your firm foundation in Jesus Christ. But if you spend all your time on the seashores of the church making sandcastles, you're in trouble. Hello. Look what I'm wearing. Ain't I pretty today? Sandcastle. I go to church and I say amen to the preacher. Sandcastles. I come to church so everybody sees me. And I go to church because someone will wonder where I'm at. Sandcastle. You come to church because you know that that's the place for believers to assemble. You know the Word of God is essential in your life. And Jesus Christ said there were two men. One built his house on sand. He did not dig down into the earth. He did not dig down to the rock. He just built his house on sand, laid his foundation on sand, built his house, and his house was gorgeous, by the way. His house was beautiful. Maybe his house had stained glass. Maybe his house had the most expensive material to build that house. But listen, a house is only as good as its foundation. Hello? And I'm sure that the house that the foolish man built was gorgeous. Beautiful house. But it was built on sand and not on the rock of God's word. I also believe that the house that the wise man built was gorgeous and beautiful and extremely architectural sound and beautiful and amazing because God blesses his children. But the difference between the foolish man's house and the wise man's house is because, here's the difference. The foolish man didn't take time to dig into God's word. Oh, he heard it, but he didn't obey it. He heard, he knew what to do, but he didn't do what he should do. It's like trying to build a house without a tape measure or level. Amen. Let me eyeball this. That'll be right. Ooh. Yeah. It'll be as crooked as backslid deacons, what it'll be. Amen? Hello? And so the wise man builds his house. It's gorgeous. The foolish man builds his house. It's gorgeous. But the storm comes. The flood comes. The wind comes. The trials come. And only the house that was built on a solid rock, who is Jesus Christ, only the house that you dug deep into the earth, deep into the ground, into the bedrock of the earth, on the rock of Christ Jesus Christ, for Jesus is the bedrock of this earth. He's the stone. He's the mighty God. He's the foundations. He made the foundations of this world. And when we dig down deep to the bedrock and the foundations of this world, and we lay it on the words of Jesus Christ, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, Jesus Christ declared, shall not pass away. And when that foolish man's house passes away, it collapses immediately. It is in ruin suddenly. Immediately it collapses. Now, the storm didn't build either one of those houses. The wind, the storm, did not build any one of them houses. I'll tell you what the storm did do. It revealed what was real and what wasn't. It revealed the house that was built right, and it revealed the house that was built wrong. Now, you know what to do. How many would agree that we are in a world that's shaky? There's a lot of problems. There's storms everywhere we turn. You know the answer is not outside the house of the Lord. You know the answer is not in the world. You know the answer is in God's word. You know what to do. You know that you need to buckle down and honor God. You know that you've got to put God first. You know that you've got to honor God. You know that you've got to listen to God's word. You know Jesus Christ is coming soon. You know the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth. You know the graveyard awaits your body. You know the storms are coming. You know the trials are coming. You know. You know what to do. You know what to do. And the bad thing, the sad thing about this whole thing is a lot of people know what to do, but they're not doing it. A lot of people know they ought to be in the house of the Lord. They know they ought to be reading their scriptures. They know they ought to believe on Christ. They know they ought to live clean, pure lives for God. They know what to do, but they're not doing it. And this foolish man knew what to do, but he went the easy route. He went the pleasure route. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. He went the joy ride route. He went the roller coaster route. He went the pleasure and the things of this world route. He went the greed route, the lust route, the sinful route. But he still built his house upon a rock, sand, little rock, sand. He built his house on the sand, and because he built his house, and let me say this real quickly. There are a lot of people who believe in God, but they're going to split hell wide open. So, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. The Bible says that the devil believes that Jesus is Lord, and he trembles. The devil knows that God is real. And the devils tremble because they know God is real. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about you don't need a U-Haul for a spiritual move. It's important that we understand this truth. A spiritual move is what everybody in this room needs. A spiritual move. The spiritual move does not require the sweat of the flesh. The spiritual move does not require the labor of your hands. It requires the spiritual obedience to God's word. With your spiritual hands, you dig deep down to the rock. With your faith, you dig down deep to where Jesus Christ is. With your spirit, you turn to God, you love God, and you honor God. Hello. Yeah. You don't need a U-Haul to move. Now, some people's lives get so bad and get so messed up that they go to thinking that, well, maybe if they could just move to another town, things would be better. Maybe they could move to another state, things would be better. Maybe if they could just move away to another place, change a job, change a wife, change a husband. They get to feeling like if they could just change their friends and change their situation, that everything would be fixed. The only problem is the troublemaker is you, and it's going wherever you go. The problem is not your job. The problem is your attitude towards your job. The problem is not where you live. It's your attitude about where you live. Everything is a spiritual problem. And you don't need a U-Haul. You can get in a U-Haul and travel plumb across to California. Wouldn't advise it. That's not a good place to move. But you can move across the country in a U-Haul, and you're still going to have the same problems you have today, because your problem's not a physical problem or a location problem. Your problem is a spiritual problem. Hello? Amen? You know what to do. You know to serve God. You know this time's running out. You know the world's about to collapse. You know what to do. Luke talks about the house being built and becomes a ruin, and talks about, why call ye me Lord, Lord? In Luke 6, verse 46, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And I've said this before, why call me Pastor, Pastor, and do not the things I say? But Jesus Christ brings a new look at this in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the last six verses of Matthew chapter 7, actually the last 10 verses, talks about verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. So this thing is whether or not we build down deep in God's word. It's not about what we do or what we reflect in others' lives. You may see, I'm convinced a lot of people that pretend to be such great Holy Ghost people don't know Jesus Christ, and they're going to be rejected at the time of judgment. You need to listen to God's word. Amen? Amen. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, how many would agree that there's storms? Therefore, there's heartbreak all around us. Therefore, the world's coming to a crashing end. Therefore, you know what to do. The graveyard awaits you. You know what's going on. You know that it's going to be horrific, and the storms are coming. You know the wind will blow. You know the rain will descend. You know the floods will come up. You know pestilence and heartbreak will come your way. You know. You know what to do. Run to Jesus Christ. You know what to do. Build your life on Jesus Christ, His word. And so Matthew chapter 7, let's read that. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Not only do you know what to do, you know what's coming. You not only know what to do, you know what's coming. And you know that it's not in your, how do I put this? It's not in your performance. It's in God's. It's in Jesus Christ. It's not about, okay, who wants to be the most spiritual today? It's not about, okay, who wants to prophesy today? Okay, who wants to do some great, mighty show today? Okay, what kind of production are we going to do today? What kind of show are we going to put on today? That's not what it's about. It's about every person in this room is going to face a hellish time in your life. You're going to face the impossible. And it's going to take only, and Jesus alone, it's going to take Him to get you through it. Without Jesus Christ, your sand will wash out. Without Jesus Christ, your sandcastles will disintegrate. In fact, the high tide will come, the waters will roll back out to the sea, and your sandcastle will be nowhere to be seen. You know what's coming. I know what's coming. As I read the scriptures, I know what's coming. And Jesus Christ said some of those things is coming, like the rain descending. When He says rain, He's not talking about a little rain like we're having tonight. He's talking about a deluge of rain. He's talking about rain just pounding, mingle with hell. Just rain, flood waters. He's talking about when the rains descend upon that house. When the wind blows upon that house. When the flood waters rise upon that house. When it beats on the house vehemently. You say, what does vehemently mean? It means insanely. When the wind and the waves just insanely beat your house. Sometimes, how many understand that things are going to come into your life that all you can describe is, it's insane. It's just out of this, I can't describe it. Jesus Christ did not say you would not have rain. He did not say you would not have winds. In fact, Jesus Christ said the wise men would have rain, winds, floods, beating upon His house. But the wise man would make it through the trial because he's built on the words, the very words of Jesus Christ. I believe there are some times coming ahead that storms are coming, floods are coming, and you know what's coming. When I look at everything that's happening in our government, I know what's coming. When I look at the prices in the grocery store for food goods, I know what's coming. Amen? When I look at the price of hamburger meat, I know what's coming. Chicken liver. Well, I hope not. When I look at the price of steak, I know what's coming. Tofu. When I look at all the prices and everything skyrocketing, I know what's coming. You're going to eat at home a lot. You're not going to go out to eat. Because you're not going to have the money to go out to eat. The storms are coming. What if you lost every dime you have to your name today? Would you be happy about it? I wouldn't. If I lost every dime I had, if I lost both quarters I have, and the last $5 bill I have in my pocket, if I lost my last $5 bill, my last two nickels or two quarters, would I be sad? Yeah, I'd be $5 and a dime or 50 cents sad. But it's not the end of the world to be broke. What's the end of the world is when you're not looking to Jesus Christ. Now, a few years ago, I had what was called a soda pop habit. Well, I might as well be honest with you, I still have it. But anyway, I'm preaching now. I need to come clean. I need to blow my nose on this and clean it out. One time I was broke, just literally broke. And I needed a soda so bad. And so I went up to the Leapfrog gas station. You remember where that was, up Highlandville Hill, just a little way. Anyway, I went to the Leapfrog gas station. And, you know, I know a lot of people. And when people, they'll say, hey, Pastor, how you doing? So I just went in there and I just hung around. I didn't have no money to buy soda. I just hung around. I just quietly moved slowly to the fountain machine, got me a cup, and psh, psh. And I'm walking real slow to the counter because I don't have a dime. And somebody walks to the door. Well, hello, Pastor. Let me pay for that soda pop you've got. I didn't say, oh, no, I would never think of it. I said, thank you so much. That's a true story. I walked out of that convenience store saying, thank you, God, you don't condemn me for being a soda pop addict. Now, I don't like being poor. I don't like having hard times. I don't like being without. But my friends, I'd rather be without all the goods of this world and still have Jesus.
Amen.
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 Yeah. I'd rather, as long as I've got Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen. The rapture could take place before we get out of here tonight.
Yeah.
We could be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
But, you know, we may not go up in the rapture in the next day or two. We may face a rupture along the way. I don't want no rupture. But I can tell you this, no matter what happens in my life, I'm built on a solid rock and I will not be moved because I'm built on Jesus Christ. And if you're built on anything other than Jesus Christ, you'll be moved. You'll get depressed and get out of church. You'll get depressed and quit reading your Bible. You'll get depressed and go to blaming God. You'll get depressed and go to feeling like, you know, I'm cheated. I feel abandoned. I feel alone. You're going to get that way because you're not built on that exciting rock of Jesus Christ. Get in there. Get down deep. You say, how deep I have to dig till we see you no more. Hello? You got to dig deep enough that we don't see you anymore. We see only Christ.
Amen.
Hello? Dig deep. Dig deep. Man, sometimes I go to preaching and I dig so deep, I dig a hole so deep that I disappear. And I'm thinking, man, you got to quit digging. You're not going to get out of here. And I'll peek my little head up out of the hole that I've dug myself in and people will be looking at me like, their eyes big as silver dollar. I can't believe you said that. You better know it. I said it. Amen. When you leave here, you'll not have to run and get a dictionary to figure out what I said. I don't want anybody to leave here saying, well, he didn't say it. No, I want everybody to leave here saying, he said it. He said it. Please hear me. I've been in the ministry now for 46 years. I know what it is to be a babe in Christ. I wasn't born fully adult as a Christian. I was a fully adult person, but I was a baby in the Lord. And for 46 years, I've lived for God. Been married to Judy for 48 years. 2 years of our life was without being saved. For 46 years, I've live for the Lord. In fact, I've been preaching for 46 years. You said, that can't be. You started preaching, you got saved. Yep, that's the way it works. 3 weeks after I was preaching. That's the way it works. But I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to feel inferior. I know what it's like to feel depressed. You say, is there light at the end of the tunnel? Yes, keep moving. Is there a blessing at the end of the journey? Yes, keep moving. It's going to get better. I hear preachers say all the time, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. The longer I'm a Christian, the easier it becomes for me to live for Jesus Christ because I love him more than I've ever loved him. And I know his word more than I've ever known his word. So if you ever hear a preacher say, oh, it just gets harder and harder to live for Jesus, they need to get saved. Hello?
Amen.
I hear people say, well, it's so hard to be a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're to come to Jesus, his yoke is easy. We that labor and heavy laden come to him, and his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You say, well, it's so hard to be a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. I love being a Christian. I love serving God.
Yes.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I want to do more of it for many more years to come.
Amen.
I want to honor God. I want to love God.
Yes.
But I want to say to everyone in this room, if you haven't dug down deep to where Jesus is, then you're building your house on sand. You've got to go down to where you know who Jesus is, you know what he'll do, you know where you're at with him. You've got to shovel all that sin and debris out of your life. Go down to the rock, establish your house. Don't build your Christian experience on sand. Don't build your Christian experience on, well, I went to church and I felt something. Well, I'm glad you did feel something. Hello? I went to the grocery store. I felt something. Hello? Say, well, I'm saved because I feel something. No, you're not saved because you feel something. You feel something because you're alive physically. Hello? But I do feel the presence of the Lord. I feel his grace. But you know, feelings come and feelings go, but feelings are deceiving. I'll put my trust in the Word of God. None else is worth believing. See, we have to trust God. And we can't put it in feelings. I know Christians are like they're like the hollow reed. You know what a reed is? It lives in the waters. It's a hollow reed. And there are people that come to church and the reed is hollow. And so the reed has to do this all the time out of the water. It's constantly sucking. And there are people today that unless they feel God do something in their life, they think God's abandoned them. That's not proper biblical perspective. Don't worry about God abandoning you. You worry about abandoning him. God's not your problem. You are. I'm not, you know, God's not my problem. I'm his problem. And boy, he's got a lot to do. Kind of like the guy, his life was falling apart, and I mean, everything was going wrong. His marriage was collapsing. His children were disobedient, and his job was a wreck, and everything. And the preacher said, well, give it to Jesus. The guy said, give it to Jesus? He said, yeah, just give it to Jesus. The guy come running up the aisle, fast as he could run to the altar and just cried and shouted and throwed his hands down toward the altar. Said, here, Jesus! I don't know what you're going to do with it. It's a mess. It's your problem now. He said, that's not Bible. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, if you're in this room right now and you're not a Christian, maybe there's someone in this room you're struggling with addiction. Maybe there's someone in this room you're struggling with drugs or alcohol, or you're struggling with depression, you're struggling with something. Maybe there's someone in this room that you've never been delivered. You've heard preachers say you need deliverance. The truth is, there is deliverance, but we need to understand that the greatest deliverance that anyone will ever have is to listen to God's word. You know what to do, and you know what's coming, and you need to just come and dig deep into the things of God and allow God to place your life solid on a rock. There may be someone in this room not saved. And I want to encourage you that God can do more by you turning to Christ and digging deep into God's will and hearing his word. God can do more for you through that act than you could ever do for yourself or trying to help yourself. God is a God who saves and delivers. God is a God who forgives. I said Sunday morning, God doesn't meet us in our past. Let me say that again. God does not meet us in our past. God meets us in our now. God's not meeting you in your past. Your past is past. God's going to meet you in your now. Now, he wants to meet you in your future, but he wants to go with you into your future.
Yeah, amen.
He'll meet you now and go with you into your future, but he's not going to meet you in your past. Why? Because the past is past. But he wants to meet you now. He wants to touch your life now. Amen? And so we need to understand that the most important thing in our life is to just listen to God. You know what to do, and you know what's coming. You know hard times are coming. You know tragedy's coming. You know storms are coming. You know what's coming, and you know what to do. And that's the best way I can put it. You don't need a U-Haul to have a spiritual movement. You don't have to move around. You don't have to have a U-Haul physically to do things physically. You just have to move in the Spirit. Let God move you. Aren't you glad at the rapture we don't have to take everything with us?
Amen.
Not as glad as Jesus is about it. But anyway, he don't want your junk. Amen? My mama, when she died, she left all her junk with us. Now, I love Mama, but it took me weeks to forgive her over that. Listen, if you've got a barn full of junk and you're starting to feel like you've got a sore throat and you may die, get rid of it, please. Be merciful to your children. Amen? Have a yard sale. Let somebody take it off your hands. And I'm convinced yard sales, you get a disease on that. Everybody's got to go to a yard sale to buy someone else's junk. Put it in your garage, and it's now your junk. And then later you sell it to somebody else, and they get your junk. And you don't make no money on it. I'm glad when we get ready to leave, I don't have to take a thing with me. I had somebody tell me, well, I'm going to go to heaven on your shirt tail. I said, no, you're not. I'm going in stark naked. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going in stark naked. Nobody's going to hang on to my tail, my shirt tail. I'm going up. Amen. I had a woman tell me one time, well, I'm afraid of the rapture. I don't want to be up there naked. I'd be embarrassed to be up there naked. I said, what makes you think you'll be naked? She said, well, you know, when the rapture takes place, all your clothes are going to be on the ground. And, you know, thief in the night. Read the book. Watch the movie. It makes a good book and it's a good story, but the truth is when you're changed, your clothes will be changed with you, and you will go up with your clothes. So you ain't got no Bible for that. I do. The Mount Transfiguration. The arraignment was changed. Whiter than the snow. Brighter than the sun. Hello. When Jesus was on Mount Transfiguration, he changed, was transformed, brighter than the sun, whiter than white can be. It didn't say his clothes were laying at his feet. They were changed. The Bible says his raiment was changed. You say, well, how's that be? Well, if God can change our flesh, don't you think he can change our duds?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. He'll leave the duds behind, but he can change our clothes. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. There may be someone in this room that you think your answer is to move. Your answer is to go somewhere else. Your answer is to take a trip, do something. No, your answer is right here. You don't need a U-Haul. Your answer is right here in the person of Jesus Christ. That's your answer. And you don't need a U-Haul for a spiritual movement. You just got to, you know what to do, and you know what's coming. You know what's going to happen. You know what's ahead of you, and you know what to do. And Jesus Christ said, be a wise person. Dig into my word. Build your house on a solid rock. Lay that foundation, When the rains come, not if they come. When the storms come, not if they come. When the floods come, not if they come. But when they come, the floods come and the storms come, it will reveal to you where you're at in Christ. It will reveal to you where you're, it'll reveal to others where you're at in Christ. Because the storms are not to build us, the storms are to reveal to us. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith." Why is it that you doubted? It revealed their doubt in the storm. We need to just focus on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Wednesday night. Say, "Preacher, I'm nervous." Good. Here's the nervous bench right up here. Come to the Lord. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to an altar. You're coming to the Lord. And say, "God, I need this move in my life. I need this spiritual move in my life." Would you do that as they play and sing?